Our text this evening is from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 4, verse 18 and following. Speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Role models are highly thought of these days. Sports champions, in particular, are set forward as examples to modern youth. 70 years ago, more sports champions were also Christians. But today, sadly, that is not the case. There are those, but they are relatively few. We are thankful for those who are unashamed to speak of their Lord, but it is not appreciated by their managers or their sponsors, which is very sad, to say the least. Now, the Apostle Paul does not use the expression role model, but he is presenting ancient Abraham as an example of strong and steady faith, summed up in those words of verse 18 here, who against hope believed in hope. I trust that you would seek to be like Abraham of ancient time in our own generation, a man, a woman, a youth, a boy, a girl of mighty faith. We're reminded here by the Apostle Paul that Abraham believed without seeing. Seeing is so important in life. It is by seeing that we understand so many things. But Abraham heard, and he believed, and it was not by seeing. Now, Abraham had every reason for not believing, humanly speaking. In verse 19, we read, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." You see, here are obvious facts to consider that militated against Sarah conceiving and giving birth. Without faith, dear friends, how could it ever be that this man and this woman should have their own child? Abraham was 100 years old, and surely beyond fathering a child. Sarah also was old, and we read in Genesis 18 and 11, "And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." And so, naturally speaking, she was incapable of childbearing. But in Genesis 18 and verse 10, God speaks and he says, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." Put yourself into the shoes of Abraham. And how would you fare, dear friend, in this particular matter? In being persuaded that what God had said, he was able to perform. Was Abraham to be naturalistic and scientific, or was he to believe the word of God? It is a wonderful encouragement to us, is it not? And indeed, Abraham is set before us in Scripture as an example on this account, that Abraham, in hope, did believe. Now, the Apostle Paul recognizes that faith rests upon the promises of God. We are not above, not against a scientific enterprise, properly conducted, but we recognize that God's word is above science. Christianity does not disregard science. If you know your relatively recent history in the years since science came to play an important part in the life of our nation, well, you know that some of our greatest scientists were Christians. They were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And rightly so, because science is the technical description of God's creation as we see it now. But according to Genesis in chapter 1, we have to remember that God created all things out of nothing by the word of his power, and all very good, human beings included, for Adam and Eve in the beginning were perfect. God spoke, and it was done. Genesis 1 and 3, we're told, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And truth is, there is no other rational explanation of the existence of light. It is a deep mystery. Now, Abraham evidently had such comprehension of the power of God that he believed that God was able to cause a barren woman to bear and to give birth to a child. So the Apostle Paul explains of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. In a situation where we would say there was no hope, it was too late, Abraham believed that God was able to fulfill his word. And the power of God can accomplish what science cannot accomplish or even explain. And if God was promising, Abraham was for believing, because God is absolutely faithful. Look at your heart this evening. Is that the kind of heart that you have? If God was promising, Abraham was for believing. Is that how it is with you this evening? coming to the Bible as the Word of God written, reading therein of exceeding precious promises. Is your heart responding affirmatively, positively, believingly? God's purpose, promise, power, and performance all unite in order to the fulfillment of what is in His Word. And that was so with respect to Abraham and Sarah of ancient time. Paul is writing this because we should therefore follow in the footsteps of Abraham and believe what God has promised in order to God's glory and our own everlasting good. If you are a believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know the truth of that in your own personal experience, how your life has been transformed as a result of putting your trust in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful difference, dear friends, to the life that you were living before you were saved, before you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How precious the promises of God with respect to this so great salvation, and how we hold dear to our hearts those words of John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We brought face to face with the grace of God, this unmerited and free favor of God, not your works and mine, not human merit, but the outpouring of the love of God, who gives His Son, His only begotten Son, as the sacrificial lamb. What love of God is manifest in the life and work and witness and death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God gave His only begotten Son. This was the end that He had in view, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Apostle John recalls us, as it were, to where we were before we were saved, perishing in our sins, but brings before us also that redeeming love of God, who provided the sacrificial lamb in order that sin might be forgiven. The world says that seeing is believing, but the Word of God teaches us that believing is seeing. It is when we believe, when we receive the Word of Scripture, when we trust the Christ of Scripture, then we are able to say with that contemporary of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, once I was blind, but now I see. Our unconverted neighbor would say to us, oh, well, I cannot see any ground for believing these things that are in the Bible. You see, they do not have this saving faith, and consequently they dismiss this glorious message of salvation, which is in the book of God. But we are to remember Abraham at such a time, because Abraham believed, and he did not stagger, says the apostle. Paul affirms of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Do you not thank God for the day that he gave to you that understanding and that believing in Jesus Christ, how it has transformed your life? Were you strong in faith? Perhaps not as strong as you would have wanted to be. But that is the challenge of Abraham to us this evening. He was strong in faith. And dear friends, we should be contented with nothing less. Here is that contrast indicated by the word but. He staggered not, but rather, or but instead, was strong in faith. The faith of Abraham excluded this staggering, this stumbling at the promises of God. If we are weak in faith, I do not say that we are thereby lost. But surely, if we are weak in faith, we hobble along in the Christian life, slow to make progress, and wobbly most of the time. Learning from Abraham is thus worthwhile, and doubtless that is one reason why Paul introduces the example of Abraham at this point. Here are opposites. What Abraham did not do, and what he did do, how he was in his life. And Paul sets Abraham before you as the example for your life, the way in which you are to live today and tomorrow in the house of God and also in the daily business of life, where the Lord Jesus Christ is not merely pushed to the sidelines, but in the mind and heart of modern man, pushed in the cupboard, pushed out of the picture altogether. But we bring him back into the picture. So we read of Abraham that he did not stagger. You know how dangerous it is if you stagger. The next thing might be that you are flat out on the pavement. You've lost your balance, and consequently, you have lost your vertical posture. The promises of God do not benefit those who will not lay hold upon them and believe them. At all times, the world, the flesh, and the devil would have you to doubt and to be filled with dismay. And we have to admit, dear friends, do we not, that often our responses to the promises of God are rather feeble, to say the least. It was never like that with the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read about him in the gospel record, we see that he had a sustained confidence in his heavenly Father, irrespective of the way the wind was blowing. Thus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter resorted to worldly strategy, the Savior said, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? I have to be honest with my hearers this evening. It is a matter of personal experience to me, and indeed to every believer, that there are challenging circumstances in life. This was a challenging circumstance to Peter. The enemies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had come out to take him. And Peter would know that that taking of Christ would be leading on to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can understand but not commend his violent reaction on that particular occasion, and ending up cutting off the ear of Malchus. And no doubt if Malchus had not ducked out of the way, that sword would have gone clear through his skull. With force and energy of Peter against the enemy, yes indeed, but alas, in completely the wrong way. We are not committed to the ways of the flesh in order to accomplish the work of God. So the Lord says to Peter, put again thy sword into his place. This is not the way. The way is the way of faith. To understand that God can deal with the adverse circumstances of life and the challenges that we face from the world, the flesh, and the devil. God is able to answer to these things in his way. And we see the reality of that in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who accomplished all that he accomplished in his life without ever having to resort to that which was sinful. Abraham not only did not stagger at the promises of God, but on the positive side, the apostle tells us Abraham was strong in faith. This giving glory to God involves reckoning God to be who he is and what he can do, and consequently trusting in his faithfulness and omnipotence and acting accordingly. What he has promised, he has power to accomplish, and he will perform. Often we may intend to keep our word, but circumstances such as illness or other unexpected events prevent it. Now, it is never like that with God, and we must trust him absolutely. Abraham was strong in faith. He was looking forward to the seed who was to come, who would be perfect, who would perfectly serve God, who would be the perfect sacrificial lamb. And so all of God's purposes of grace would find their accomplishment in him. But can we, dear friends, so come to Calvary and see in the crucified Savior, who appears to the eye of man to be powerless to rescue himself, they taunted the Lord Jesus, didn't they? With those cries to come down from the cross. If he was the Son of God, if he had such power, why does he not demonstrate it and come down from the cross? Well, if you are a believer, you know why he was not going to come down from the cross. Because the very heart of the purpose of God was there at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ had come to save sinners such as we. And consequently, he must atone for sin. And the death, the eternal death that belongs to sinners such as we, would be taken instead by he himself in order that there might be forgiveness with God, that he might be feared. So Abraham began well. He believed God. He trusted God. He received his word, and he rested in that word. Being not weak in faith, says the apostle, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. In Abraham, we see a man who believed in a steady faith. He was not wavering. Every believer knows about wavering. When there is that instability in connection with our own profession. But Abraham, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Full assurance of faith is a wonderful blessing. If we know that blessing, our hearts go out to those believers who have not yet attained to it, who are still going through life, as it were, wobbly, and halting, as it were, like Jacob upon his thigh. Had we kept a diary over the years of our spiritual experience, we recognize that there would be many cases of wavering that we would report. It is wonderful, is it not, to be able to maintain praise and thankfulness concerning our salvation in the full assurance of faith. But oftentimes we do not have the same confidence concerning our life circumstances. They trouble us, and we are fretful. Even though we know that we are eternally safe, because underneath are the everlasting arms, yet we fret and we are troubled about certain details of life here. And because they are painful to us, we are concerned in an unspiritual way. It is a contradiction. But wavering concerning the details of life is an ever-present problem. If we are strong in faith, we know that there is no need for this instability, this wavering. But we are all familiar with it who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, the fact that we know about it, the fact that we experience it, must not prevent us from endeavoring to strive to eliminate that wavering and that doubt. So we have James in James 1, verses 5 and following, urging us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The waves might look beautiful, but we know that they lack stability. They are in motion, as it were, and eventually they flatten out and disappear. Not wavering, Paul says. Don't be waverers. Abraham believed in steady faith, and that is how we should be. And not rejected. Abraham did not believe in vain. He was persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. That is the standard that the Apostle Paul would set before us. This persuasion, if God has said it, he will do it. If God has promised it, he will perform. So the Apostle Paul continues there in verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Professor John Murray comments at this particular point. The grandeur of faith consists in this, that it gives all the glory to God and rests in God's power and faithfulness. The efficacy of faith's instrumentality resides in the fact that it gives God the glory and rests upon him in the fullness of that perfection which demands the ascription of glory. Being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Not a mere target for behavior. The apostle is here speaking about the faith that Abraham actually exercised and the steadiness in the way of life in consequence of that. True believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have a personal interest in all of this. Whether we meditate upon it or not, we ought to. What Paul has written encourages us to diligent reflection upon the case of Abraham. We have so much to learn from it. And so the Apostle Paul writes here as the concluding thought, as it were, with respect to this particular section of his wonderful epistle to the Romans. No, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So let us, dear friends, go forward in that faith, that saving faith that the Apostle Paul commends to us. Let us be like Abraham of ancient time, steady in trusting in God. Amen.